Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Man, didn't you just enjoy our great time of worship this morning? I'm so thankful for the amazing, gifted people that God has brought into our lives and to this church to lead us into such an awesome time of worship and celebration. Can I get an amen on that one? Well, listen, I'm just so thrilled that you're here and just looking forward to what God wants to say to each of our hearts. Before I dive into today's message, I just want to just highlight a few things that's happening today, as well as something that's happening real soon as well. But the first and foremost thing I want to share with you is obviously right after our 11:30 service, as always, we have what we call our connection track. It's a series of steps and a series of classes that we really encourage everybody to take advantage of. Today, immediately after our 11:30 service, we're going to be doing what we call Purpose 301, where you'll really understand what it means to discover your true purpose in life, and we help identify your spiritual shape. So we're going to be talking about your spiritual gifts and your passions and different areas of your life. So we hope you'll take advantage of that. As always, we'll take care of your kids and feed everybody lunch during that time, okay? And then another thing we're excited about is happening immediately after our 11:30 service. So I should say a little while after our 11:30 service, we're going to be going to Cocoa Beach for our first beach baptism for the year. And so if you have never been baptized but would like to be baptized by immersion, it's a great opportunity for you. Immediately after the service, you can go across our hallway into our administrative office. We're going to have a brief orientation for those of you who'd like to take advantage of that. But it's at 3 o'clock at Lori Wilson Park today. There in Cocoa Beach, and what an opportunity. I promise you, it is an experience that you will never forget. So we always have a great crowd of people that go out there with us to help stand with and to celebrate those who are making that all-important step of faith in their lives. So that's happening today. And another thing that's happening tonight at 7 o'clock for all of the ladies called Sisterhood. It's going to be going on tonight, a great time of worship and just a great fun-filled time with the ladies, a great time of just networking, connecting with other lady friends, and hopefully you'll have the opportunity to meet some new people, put faces and names together, lots of giveaways and inspirational teaching time and some testimonies. This is going to be a great night for our ladies. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. So, and by the way, because of the theme, ladies, you've been given the green light, all right, to wear your flip-flops and your beach hats or whatever, because we're going to be coming back from the beach to get ready for that. I say we, I won't be a part of the ladies' night tonight. But anyway, for all of our ladies, we encourage you to do that. And then the last thing, don't forget, the first Sunday of June, we're going to be adjusting our service times throughout the summer. We're going to be doing a 9 and an 11 a.m. to make preparations for our launch team that we're in preparation for our second campus out in the Lake Nona community. And so we're really excited about that. So we're consolidating, and we're going to be mobilizing some teams and volunteers and doing a lot of different things. And we want to give some of our volunteers a little bit of a break as well. So we just hope that you'll make note of those things. That is going to be the first Sunday of June when we're adjusting our service times for our summer, as well as making preparations for the future. Well, today we're in part two, called Dirty Laundry, if you haven't noticed as of yet. Last week we talked on Mother's Day about the opportunity to overcome the negative tags and labels that people unfortunately place upon our lives, or even culture for that matter, has a tendency to even place upon our lives. And today, as we continue with this, I want to talk to you about how to balance the load that you perhaps are carrying in your life. And so today, as you think about the load we've all perhaps experienced when we go and we take our dirty laundry and we try to pile it into the washing machine, we turn it on, and then maybe perhaps, you know, a few minutes later, out from nowhere, it just kind of rings throughout the house. There's this amazing, obnoxious noise that gets our attention. It sounds something like this. Check this out. How many of you ever experienced that before? Man, it scares the daylights out of you, doesn't it? Man, it's crazy how that thing will suddenly just begin to build momentum. It makes this obnoxious, loud noise, and obviously it gets your attention. But one of the things that we're going to learn today is that just like a washing machine, when we try to cram too much stuff in it, that creates overload. The same can be true for our personal lives when we try to cram too much stuff in our lives, because over a period of time, if we're not careful, the things that we try to stuff or cram into our busy lives, our schedules, our calendars, over time will create a tremendous amount of overload. In fact, if we're not careful, we can even experience burnout in the process. There's an interesting passage of scripture in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up and turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse 13 and following. It's a unique story. It's a very practical and relevant principle that we learn from Moses' life that I hope that we'll all take away and apply to our lives today. But I want you to just kind of follow along with me as I pick up the story, because as you all remember the story where Moses had freed the children of Israel from bondage there in Egypt. They had been in bondage and slavery for some 400 years, and now all of a sudden, you remember the story where Moses, you know, went and helped set the people free, and man, masses of people followed Moses, and they came to that Red Sea experience, and God parted the waters, and the people from Israel, they were able to cross over, and, you know, through this amazing miracle of redemption and this great miracle that helped, you know, allow the people of Israel to experience a newfound freedom, there was this jubilation, there was this joy, and there was this celebration that they were all experiencing. And then all of a sudden, things begin to kind of settle in, and things begin to mount, if you will, as far as the challenges and the obstacles and the issues that begin to take place just among the common people. And therefore, they begin to bring their dirty laundry and air their dirty laundry to Moses. And we pick up the story in verse 13 in Exodus chapter 18, and it says this: "The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening." In other words, they brought their dirty laundry to Moses, and they waited there from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all of this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" And Moses replied, "Well, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." Notice verse 17. "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out and the people. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." So interesting to me that even in that day, even in that situation, someone like Moses, as great of a spiritual leader he was, still could not single-handedly handle the enormous responsibility and load that was placed upon his life. And not only was he trying to help and not only trying to sort out the dirty laundry in other people's lives, even though he was doing a good thing, it began to weigh heavily upon him. So much so that he began to experience the same warning signs or symptoms or indications that we all experience in our lives when all of the good stuff that we're doing, perhaps, or maybe all the things that we try to cram into our busy schedules over time will begin to also get our attention, and it's in the form of frustration and fatigue. Those are two warning signs, two indicators that something's not right. And just like a washing machine creates that horrendous, obnoxious noise when it's overloaded, what is it doing? It's telling you it's becoming frustrated. It's becoming fatigued. Why? Because it can't handle the load. And the same is true when we get frustrated, when things aren't going as planned or things aren't going as we had hoped. What happens, man? We become irritable. We become in some ways kind of hard to live with. We become intense. Everything's so serious. We're taking life and taking ourselves way too serious. And there's this atmosphere in our, maybe in our lives and with other people and in our home where just the frustration is beginning to build and to mound so much so to where it's just the heaviness. It kind of just takes the joy out of everything. And not only that, it's the fatigue. We just get weary. You're tired. Obviously, when you get tired, you get irritable and cranky and, you know, fun to be around and, you know, you kind of just lose your joy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's true for all of us. We all, at times, will get frustrated or we'll get extremely worn out through just fatigue. We get tired physically. We get tired emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. Man, we just get under this heavy load that just seems to kind of drain and deplete our lives. And what we have to realize is that these kinds of things that go on is an indication that we have no space. There's no margin. You see, Moses had no margin in his life. And what I mean by margin basically is the space between your load and your limits. We all think we're invincible. We all think we can just go at Mach speed 24/7, 365 days a year, but there comes a point where the load that we're trying to carry and the limits that keep us from being able to carry those loads, it defeats us and depletes us and it drains us. And we get fatigued and we become frustrated. And that's exactly what was going on in Moses' life. And here's what's interesting. It took somebody else, a third party, Moses' father-in-law named Jethro, to speak truth, to speak the love, to speak the truth in love into Moses' life. Jethro. That's an awesome name, isn't it? Jethro. Every time I see that, I always think of Jed Clampett, you know, and Jethro and Ellie Mae, Beverly Hillbillies. How many of you remember that show? Greatest show of all time. I love that show. Well, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, shows up on the scene, and here he is. He's just a fresh set of eyes and ears, kind of just standing in the background, you know, with an objective point of view, and he's thinking, this isn't going to work. I mean, Moses, bro, you're gonna wear yourself out. This is not good. You're confusing activity with accomplishment. He says, Moses, hey, son, you've got to work smarter rather than harder. You know what's interesting? It's kind of like this. I think the only thing worse than being told what to do by your father-in-law is to be told what to do by your... Now, you said that, not me, all right? You know what I'm saying? Being told what to do by somebody that you don't want to be told what to do by. Well, in this case, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was just trying to help. He saw something that was not good, and he tried to speak truth and tried to help by simply giving advice and wise counsel to Moses. And I guess my question to you is this. Who do you have in your life that can speak truth and speak the truth in love and to give wise counsel? Who may see from an objective standpoint of view, from someone from the outside looking in and say, hey, look, I can sense things aren't going well. I can see you're tired. I can see you're becoming irritable. I can sense a spirit of frustration. And what has to happen is we have to open ourselves up to people who can speak truth and speak wisdom and give us counsel. And so today what I want to do is I want to kind of help be the Jethro in your life. I want to share with you some wise counsel that I think is so important for us to live balanced, healthy, productive lives that really honor God. And the first thing, if you're taking notes, is this. If we're going to be effective when it comes to balancing and sorting out the load that we carry in our lives, we have to stop. We have to take inventory. It's the very first thing that we have to do. We have to take inventory in our lives. It's just like Jethro mentioned to Moses there in verse 17, he said, this is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. Man, this is too heavy of a burden for you to carry all by yourself. And so what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves that all-important question, what is not good in my life? What is it that I'm trying to carry that I cannot carry or continue to carry much longer by myself? What burdens or responsibilities that am I trying to do that is wearing me down? And over time, it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not wise. What we have to do is we have to take inventory. Let me give you an example I'm talking about. When we go into your laundry room, utility room, whatever you would call it, where the washer and dryer is, when you hear this obnoxious noise that suddenly gets your attention, what do? You go in, you stop the thing, because again, if you don't stop it, it's just going to keep going and it'll be bouncing all over the place. So you have to stop it, you have to lift the lid, and then you have to see what's going on. You got to take inventory of what's happening, what's causing the stress, what's causing the overload. And for some of us, as you perhaps take inventory of your life, maybe what you're finding is that you've just got too much time on your hands from the standpoint of maybe spending too much time watching TV. You think, American Idol comes on this night, and, NBA playoffs, we stay up late, the late West Coast games come on, and, all of that, we're just like overloaded with the amount of time that we're spending when it comes to TV. And then for some of us, guess what? Man, we just got way too much going on with school. And I know that school's knocking on the door of getting done, and some of you are thinking, thank God. And parents are saying, thank God. And oh no, it's summer. What are we going to do with our kids? And so what happens is, but school, the burden of school and academics and the pressures and the exams, maybe you're an adult and you're burning the candle at both ends. You're working during the day, going to school at night, and man, it's just nonstop, and it's consuming, and it's a heavy burden that you're carrying. For some of us, maybe the burden and maybe the overload is in the area of hobbies. Man, this is awesome. We're going to go to the lake. It's Memorial Day weekend coming up. And we're going to go fishing and hunting. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. That's awesome. Problem is that you can only do so much. And then for some of us, maybe it's in the extracurriculars. Guess what? Man, we got band practice, and we got dance practice, and we got to go to this recital, and we got to go to this practice, and oh, by the way, my son, he's going to be this, or he's going to be that, or my daughter, she's going to be this, or going to be that, and so we got to go here, and we got to go there, and we got to commit to this, and we got to spend more time that, and we got to pay for that, and all of a sudden, all the extracurriculars are like consuming our time. And then think about the other stuff. We take inventory. We think, oh, man, sports. Oh, my son's going to be the next LeBron James. Man, so we got to sign him up for this. And my daughter, she's going to be that. We got to sign her up for that. And man, all of a sudden, we go from here to there. And it's travel ball, and it's practice here, and it's games there. And we're going to commit to this season. And we go from that season to this season, from this season to that season. And we're like, oh, man, can't wait. And then we got... oh, this is huge. A little social media. We got a little Facebook action. We got to get likes. We got to leave a comment. And man, we got to post this. And we got to post that. And we got to Instagram it. And we got to Facebook it. And we got to tweet it. And we got to do all of these things. But then there's more stuff. It just keeps coming and coming. And we think, oh, yeah, but I got to stay informed. I mean, I got to surf the internet. I mean, I got to check out what's going on. You know, everything's going digital, so I read the paper online. I got to watch the stock market. I got to see what's going on. I got to post this on Craigslist. I got to see what's happening here and there. And I got all this stuff I got to keep up with. And internet, man, we're up 3:00 in the morning. You know, we're sending emails and we're checking this out and checking that out. And then work. Oh, man, Man, it's dog eat dog out there. I mean, I got to be one up. So, I mean, we got to work here, we work there. Man, it's just on and on and on it goes with work. And then we got, man, what else we got? Oh, volunteer. Yeah, we got to volunteer at church. We got to volunteer for my kids' class. We got to volunteer for the Kiwanis Club. We got to volunteer for, you know, the community. And we're going to volunteer here. We're going to volunteer there. We're going to volunteer everywhere. And, oh, man. And then we got, oh, this is huge. The financial response. I mean, somebody's got to pay for this stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, just every time I turn around, they're calling me, so they're sending me a letter, they're knocking on my door, they're harassing me. The financial responsibility of it all is just like, you know, you got to keep up with it. Well, anyway. Now, here's the deal. Those are all choices that we make. And here's the thing. None of this is forced upon us. Nobody walks around, puts a gun to our head and say, you have to commit to all of these things. No, these are choices we make. And if I were to try and pick all this up and cram it back into the washing machine and then, you know, readjust it and turn it back on, thinking that it's just all going to work, it's not. You're going to hear that obnoxious noise all over again. Why? Because it's telling you, you can't put that much stuff in the washing machine. Just like we can't put that much stuff in our lives, on our calendars, it creates frustration, it creates fatigue. And here's what you need to realize. None of these things are wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. Those are good things. It's good. But here's the issue. A good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. And that is where the load gets heavy. That's where the frustration and that's where the fatigue settles in. I saw a guy the other night that I hadn't seen in a long time. And spiritually, he was at a different place. And I looked into his eyes and I could see the fatigue. And he was telling me about their summer calendar. And I mean, it is tournament after tournament after tournament. And he's saying, man, we got practice first thing, you know, tomorrow morning. I'm like, really? And you know, again, those aren't bad things. The question is, can we handle the load that comes with it? Can we cope with the fatigue and the frustration that seems to, for whatever reason, just build to the point to where the noise is being ignored? Here's what the Bible says. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. That's the part where it creates frustration and fatigue, the weight that is too heavy to bear. And then it says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. It's hard to successfully run the race of endurance as far as the race that God has placed before our lives to live a purpose-filled life when we're tired and worn out and fatigued and weary from running here, there, and everywhere, confusing activity with accomplishment by all the other stuff that's competing with the ultimate race that God has called us to run. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You see, God has a greater plan and a greater purpose. And the goal for our lives is to live healthy, well-balanced lives. So the first step is we have to take inventory. And the second thing we have to do is this. We have to prioritize our load. You see, when you lift the lid and you take inventory of all this stuff, all of these things that we get immersed in, here's the issue. The issue is that we have to sort the good from the best. Did you hear me? Again, these are all good things, but we can't do everything. So we have to prioritize our load. We have to make sure that what it is that we're saying yes to is the best. We have to say yes to the best and no to the good. And that is hard to do. But you have to prioritize your load, or the load will get way too heavy for you to bear. It's kind of like when you go into your laundry room and you open the lid and, you know, you think, oh man, there's no way. So what do? You have to start pulling some stuff out. You say, okay, you start maybe by separating the darks from the whites. Or maybe you prioritize, you say, oh, I got to have those socks for tomorrow. Or, no, I got to wear that shirt tomorrow. And so what do you prioritize what matters the most. You have to separate. And that's the same thing that we have to do in our lives. We have to separate. We have to make sure that whatever it is we're saying yes to really is productive. It's the wise, it's the best decision that's going to help us run the race. It's going to help us stay on track in our lives spiritually. Because that's why Jethro came to Moses and spoke the truth and love to his son-in-law. And he said, Moses, what you got to do is you got to work smarter rather than the harder. You need to prioritize your load. For him, it was a matter of delegating to some capable people who could do some of the things that Moses was doing. And as a result of him delegating some of those tasks out to others, it freed Moses up to focus on the bigger, more important task at hand. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn to prioritize our load. And how do we do that? Well, Jesus said it best in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above everything else, we have to pursue God. He is our highest, greatest, most important priority in our lives. And then it goes on to say, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So when you put the essentials, and you put the priorities, when you put the must do's, when you put the right things in and you eliminate the best from the good, God will make sure that everything else is taken care of. He'll make up the difference in your life. When you live your life according to his priorities and live your life with order. Now, what many people fail to realize is that God is a God of order, not disorder. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:33 says. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Isn't it interesting that when we live our lives contrary to God's order, contrary to God's priorities, the net effect is what? Chaos, frustration, fatigue. But yet when we live our lives according to God's priorities, we are in alignment with him. Guess what the net effect is? It's peace. It's harmony. There is a rhythm and a tempo that God allows your life to experience when we align our priorities and our lives with his. So here's the thing. Where should we prioritize? In other words, what areas should we focus on the most? Well, Jesus, once again, is our greatest example to build our lives upon and to look to him as the ultimate example of a well-balanced life. We find in the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says this about Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom. That means he grew mentally and intellectually. And it goes on to say, and he grew in stature. That means that he grew physically. And he grew in favor with God. That means he grew spiritually. And all the people. That means he grew socially. So here is Jesus, the greatest example of all. And he grew how? Physically, he grew mentally, he grew spiritually, he grew socially, relationally. But I believe there's another area that he grew that was not necessarily in this context, but in another, and it's found in Galatians chapter 5. Because I also believe that Jesus is the ultimate example of emotional maturity, where he grew emotionally. How? Well, the scripture says in Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He was all of those things wrapped up in one. He embodied those characteristics, those nine virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, wrapped up in one. He exemplified emotional maturity. So my question to you is this. Where in your life do you need to grow? And where in your life do you need to prioritize so that you can grow? And then what areas of your life, in other words, what do you need to stop doing and what do you need to start doing? What do you need to do to start developing a more holistic, well-balanced physical, spiritual, social, emotional, spiritual balance in your life? There was a famous professor. In fact, he's probably influenced more ministers than maybe than any other professor in seminaries across the world because of his amazing teaching and writings. But he made a statement. He said, a lot of people are like photographs. He said they're overexposed and underdeveloped. And I think that's so true. Because most of us, especially in this day and age, we're overexposed. I mean, there is so much that we're exposed to, and yet we're underdeveloped emotionally, underdeveloped spiritually, underdeveloped perhaps socially, relationally, with life-giving, Christ-centered relationships. We're underdeveloped maybe physically in our lives. We're underdeveloped maybe mentally. And so what we have to ask is this: where do I need to focus my priorities? What do I need to adjust, realign in my life to create margin so that I can live a well-balanced, Christ-centered, God-honoring life? That's huge. Well, here's something that I want to share with you. At the end of the day, here's how we do it. We not only take inventory and prioritize our load, we have to make Christ the center of our life. That's where it all begins. We have to make Christ, and we have to put Christ at the center of our lives. If I were to draw a diagram of a perfectly well-balanced life, I would put Jesus at the center. Because without Him, we have no stability. Without Him, we have no center. Without Him, we have no grounding in our life. Our lives are kind of like a wheel. Just like a wheel has a hub. The hub is the point that distributes the power through the spokes, which distributes the power that enables the momentum and the motion of the wheel to turn. And when we put Christ at the center of our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit is what distributes the power in all of the other areas of our lives that are too great for us to handle on our own. We have to put Him at the center of our lives. Because if we don't, then everything's out of balance. If we don't, we become overloaded, fatigued, and frustrated. And we become weary, and there's no peace. There's no joy. We're just kind of hydroplaning through life. We're in survival mode. I have been in a healing mode for about 3.5, almost 4 weeks now. Monday will be 4 weeks since I had surgery on my neck. And sometimes you're just going at mock speed, and you all of a sudden you don't get an option. It's just your body just says, okay, time out. If you're not going to take time out, the body says, I'll take time out for you. And so you force to, you're stopped, and you're at the mercy of God, mercy of other people. And you find yourself just kind of looking up. And it's in that time where you're having to just kind of evaluate, process, And you know, during this week, I really struggle with this message. Because it's a message that I need to hear. It's a message that I need to apply to my life. Because I'm one of these guys, my staff would be the first to testify. I go nonstop. My mind never stops. I'm one of these guys, I'm just, it's on. It's full on all the time with me. It's just the way I'm wired. And I have big dreams and goals, and I want to see God use our church to make an impact, to reach the world and reach this city. And man, I just want to see life change. And I want to see all these good things. But you know, there comes a time when you just can't do it all. You can't be here and you can't be there, and you can't say yes to this and say yes to that and be this for this person and be that for those people and show up for this and show up for that and say hi to this and say hi to that. And you just can't. And here's what I've learned. This is a powerful verse. I want to pass this on as we wrap it up. In Colossians chapter 1, it says in verse 15 and following, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He's the glue. If you feel like your life is spinning out of control, if you feel like you're on the verge of burnout, if your marriage is falling apart, your kids are falling apart, family life is falling apart, your vocation, your world is crumbling, and you feel as though it is impossible to keep it all or to hold it all together, can I just bluntly tell you, you can't. It's impossible. But Jesus can. He's the one that holds it all together. He is in control. And when you feel as though your life is out of control, he can bring order and stability and peace in your life. That's who he is. That's what he does. And your problems are not too big for him to figure out. Jesus said it best. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you." In other words, let me help you. Let me give you wisdom, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. If you're living an overloaded life, what you need more than anything is to put Jesus back in the center of your life. Say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. And allow Christ to be the highest, most important, above all else, your greatest pursuit, and allow him to take care of all the other things and meet the needs that only he can meet in your life.